The views, opinions, and content of the show hosts and their guests appearing on America's Web Radio are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the station.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of all ages. I am Roger B. This is Locked and Loaded, and you're listening to America's Web Radio. Now, I had come into the studio at the end of Vic's little explanation of Kamala doing her interview, and I thought, you know, I wonder how that went. She said, now, you said that Joe was with her in the interview, so he was escorting her or accompanying her. Now, I wondered during the interview, what did she call him? Was it Daddy? Did she call him Daddy during the interview? Because that would be really cool.
We need a soundbite. Who's Daddy?
Yeah, really? Oh, yeah. Because, I mean, now she has a bit of a checkered past, which, you know, and people will say the same thing about Trump. They say he has a bit of a checkered past, which I get it. You know, but if you can get into a discussion and only discuss policy, I wonder who would come out on top of that. Now, I know Donald Trump has gone on about his policy, close the borders, fix the economy, fix the issue in the Middle East. These are all pertinent, extreme issues that need to be handled on day one. Now, Kamala's been in there for over 1,000 days, and she's still talking about day one. It's like, what about the other 1,000 days you just sat in Joe's lap and told him what you want?
Her day one was almost 4 years ago.
Yeah, 1,000 days ago, she's talking about day one. It's like, now granted, Joe was in office, but still, as a VP, you have some influence.
Hey, Roger.
Especially with a demented old fool who doesn't
Joe
know.
Joe Biden was running this country?
Oh, my God, no.
Harris was probably doing more than we know.
I wonder if they let her, though, or did they let her handler,
well,
his handlers deal with
everything? Honestly, they're both controlled by handlers. They're both puppets.
Right.
Let's face it. But, Roger, think about this. The last 16 years, 12 of those years have been controlled by Democrats.
Yep.
And so don't talk to me about day one if you're
right.
a Democrat.
Yeah, you've already done it. I mean, Big Daddy Barack is over there pulling the strings from the back of the stage, saying, "Come on now, she's Kamala. We're gonna rig this for you just like we did for Joe.
That's
all you
crazy.
Have to do is keep your mouth shut and not say anything stupid."
But at least when they rigged it for Joe, people actually got to vote. Nobody voted for Kamala.
No,
nobody. I got as many votes as Kamala for the in the primary.
In the Democratic primary, that's right.
So they should anoint me.
Yeah, because they didn't allow anybody to run. Well, a few guys didn't, though, didn't they?
Well,
wasn't JFK running?
Well, they pushed him out, so he ended up running as an independent.
But he did run in the primaries,
though. But they pushed Jill Stein out, and, well, he ran for most of it, and then he had to bail. And then Jill Stein bailed, but Jill Stein's back now, so they're suing to get her off the ballot. Along with the black man, Cornell West. Democrats.
Jill Stein?
Yeah.
Oh, and the Democrats. Suing to get them off.
The Democrats are doing everything possible in every state to get Jill Stein off the ballot. Now, get this.
Well, because they don't want to split the vote. I understand why.
Get this. The Democrat Party was able to take Biden's name off the ballot, put Harris's name on the ballot. They will not allow RFK's name to get off the ballot. But they're forcing and suing to get Stein and Cornell West off the ballot.
Wow.
How crazy is that? But that tells you what
they
think about.
But people don't care, though.
RFK.
What's the problem with that? Jeez.
Well, they want it down to where they believe. Right. You don't have a choice. The only choice you have is RFK because they believe there's enough Democrat or enough Republican idiots. And unfortunately, there's some out there that won't vote for Trump, but they'll go vote for RFK.
Right, and that'll just split the Republican
and
vote instead of splitting the Democrat vote as they want to.
And that's why they want Cornel West off, and they want because you might have a black people that say, "I can't support this ridiculous party because of what they've done to the economy." But I'm not going to vote for Trump, so I'm going to go vote for Cornel West. He's a black man. Well, you may not have that choice.
How can they sue to keep them off the ballot?
Dude, they'll do anything. It's a Democrat party.
Oh, my God.
They will do anything. Look, they tried to get Trump off the ballot, and he's the nominee.
I know. That's, oh, man. They're running scared at this point, I think.
They don't care. The party that says they believe in democracy hates democracy.
Now, did you talk about any of this capital gain stuff? Oh, my God. That is just insane. That people don't realize how bad, you know, they're going to look at their 401k and realize, where'd all my money go? And you're going to go, oh, they took it from you.
Not just that.
But why?
Not just that. I mean, I can even break this down to maybe your hippie or your nerd that's out there that might lean Democrat because they think the Democrats are nice to them. If you're a comic book collector, let's say you've collected comic books, the government under Harris's plan would be able to come into your house and say, well, these comic books are worth $500 for this issue, $1,000 on that issue, and they're going to tax you for
it. $25,000 worth of comic books here.
And you're going to go, but I didn't sell them. I don't have the money. Doesn't matter. That's an unrealized gain, and we're going to go ahead and tax you. And then if you ever do sell it, they'll tax you again.
Oh, so you don't just pay on the unrealized gain?
Oh, gosh, no.
You have to pay it twice?
You will end up paying more than twice.
Now, I guess there's no provision in this plan to pay somebody if their property goes down. They don't get a tax break. No. You don't get a tax credit.
No,
if your property goes down.
Let's say your house goes up $200,000 in a year, and they tax you on it. And then 2 years later, the housing market crashes because that's what the Democrats want. And your house, you lose.
It's back down to the $300,000 it started at.
Yeah, that's.
But you've already paid $50,000.
You've already paid $50,000. You're not going to get it back. There's no provision to give it back.
Just provision to take. Now, is this a law that's pending, or is it just an idea that's floating around? What? How far along is this?
It's an idea that's been around for a long time.
Yeah, I know. I remember Hillary talked about it.
The Democrats have been trying to push for it, but Harris actually has a plan that she's proposing.
I know.
So if they get power, she could pass this.
I know Clinton had a plan that a one-time tax on everybody's 401ks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm thinking, you go,
was a little bit different. They called that a wealth tax. And they still want to do that. They still want to go in. They want to go in and take 25% of everything everybody owns. Just whack 25%.
Then they want to do
unrealized gains. And listen, for anybody out there who what burns me up is when people look at me and say, "Oh, this will never happen here." Yeah, give me a break. When has the Constitution stopped the Democrats of late?
They hired 80,000 new IRS agents. What for?
Yeah,
to go assess all these unrealized capital gains.
The 86,000 new IRS agents originally were to go after tip workers, waiters, waitresses, valet parkers.
But now that they're not going to do that.
They will. First of all, the Democrats will never take away tips. They'll never do that. I mean, they're never going to tax tips.
And I have to say, even though everyone whines about that, that's fair. If you're making money under the table, not paying taxes on it, that's not fair.
I think it's fair too. And if you want to do something about it, then pass the fair tax.
Yeah,
pass the
make it so everybody can have
the way it should be.
Equality under the law. Yeah. Isn't that the way things are supposed to work?
It's supposed to work that way.
You make so much money, you pay tax on that, no matter whether it's tips or whether it's unrealized income.
Right.
They even tax people on alimony payments, I believe.
It's unconstitutional. I don't know about that. I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah.
It's unconstitutional to tax unrealized gains. But anybody who thinks...
Well, the income tax itself is unconstitutional.
It is, but there's an amendment for it, so it's not.
Right, so they would
have... We have to repeal the amendment. That's part of a consumption tax. That's part of the fair tax plan. When you pass that plan, it repeals the income tax.
Now, I don't know if you've talked much about the... For those of you who don't know, the fair tax would be basically a federal sales tax on everything you buy.
Not everything. Only new things.
New things, okay.
Not used.
Well, it depends.
No, it doesn't.
Are you sure if you're selling? So if you have a secondhand store, everything you sell, use in your retail store would not be.
I would have to look and see exactly, but I know on like new cars, new homes, none of that would be. I mean, that would be taxed.
Well, yeah, the states tax all that stuff used anyway, though.
A used home, the state's going to be.
You buy a used car, you're paying the sales tax on that. And I wouldn't put
a new home. I mean, a used home, new car, a used car. You're not going to pay a federal consumption tax. You're not going to pay the.
Besides the way it is now.
Now, when you talk about, I mean, the states are going to do what they normally do.
Right, they're taxing everything.
Yeah, so if you're talking about a store in a state, I mean, they're going to charge tax, of course, but I don't think there would be a federal tax on used items.
Because I remember all the states kind of got together and decided, you know, we want our sales tax on all this Amazon stuff, all this eBay stuff, all the stuff you order online.
Yeah.
We want our sales tax on that.
Yep.
And they got
They got it.
Which, you know, it's not completely unfair.
I mean, I get it.
I mean, if it's being sold to someone in that state, they should have to pay sales tax for it. If you're operating your business and you have a reach in that state, you need to pay the sales tax.
I would rather pay a tax on that than a property tax. The property tax is what needs to go away.
Oh, yeah. You don't own. You never own any property in this country. You only rent it.
You're renting it.
You're renting it. Because, I mean, You think about it. Yeah, you pay tax on it every single year just to stay there.
Sometimes there's
people who pay more in property taxes than they do on their mortgage.
Yeah, well, talk to New Yorkers.
Yeah. I mean, if you have a mortgage you've been paying on for 20 years and your mortgage is low, all of a sudden they come along and tax you. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, California has a different system. They tax, your property taxes is based on your original purchase price. So it doesn't change while you have it until
you sell it.
You sell it, the next person gets hit with it.
I guarantee you there's some other taxing they're doing, Roger.
They have a 10% sales tax on everything. And then they have all kinds of other taxes and stuff.
Sure, there's another way. But, you know, but the point is that we really need Republicans to get some gonads because we shouldn't have that. There should be
you
no
should
connection
be able to own
your
property. Yeah,
there should be no connection to your property and the government.
Well, they
property
want
tax is not an income tax, and we're only constitutionally able to tax income.
That's the federal government, though. So the federal government doesn't charge you property taxes.
So now, the thing is, it's the people in the states that need.
But they whine about them. They whine about the property values are going up so much I can't afford a place to live. People don't realize what drives most of that is the property taxes going up on property so much that it causes an increase in cost.
Because
all of a sudden, if you were paying rent somewhere, and don't say if you don't own property, you don't pay it. Because if you live in an apartment or a condo
renting, you're paying just as much.
If you live on a campsite somewhere and live in a tent, if you're paying for that campsite, they're paying property taxes on that, and they're passing it right on to you.
Let me tell you something. If I'm renting something to you, and I'm getting taxed on it, you're getting taxed on it.
Exactly.
Passing that, that's a cost of doing business.
And people just assume that, I'm going to tax my landlord. He charges me too much.
Go ahead, tax me because I'm going to tax your ass.
Yeah, where do you think that trickles right down to, into your pocket?
That's
the fact that people don't understand that is retarded. I'm sorry.
That's your educational system the government runs. They purposely make sure people don't understand that.
Yep, retarded like a 57 Chevy, 3 degrees before top dead center. Yes,
have you seen
is twisted
the,
backwards.
Have you seen the video where there's a father? He's probably in his early 60s, and his son comes in, and his son is a typical teenager today,
purple haired liberal
full of mush.
Yeah,
and the father's working on a classic car, and he happens to be working on the timing. And the son comes in and hears the father talking to somebody about the car, and the father says, "Well, it's tarded.
It's retarded.
And the son goes, "Oh, you can't say that." And the dad goes, "What the hell are you talking about? You cannot call people
retarded.
You can't call anybody a retard.
It's retarded or advanced."
It.
Yes.
Yeah. And the video is hilarious because the father goes through it again, and the kid's freaking out. And then the father finally goes, "Let me tell you what I'm talking about," and then he explains it to him, and then he tells him to get the hell out of his garage. It's great.
It's not a word that only applies. It's not only a derogatory term. It's used in all kinds of situations, but people just freak out. Oh my God!
The best in our situation, Roger, was the movie Tropic Thunder.
Oh, that was great. You never go full retard
because you never go full retard, and you never tell you never tell somebody like me and you before we go to the movie how many times somebody's going to say retard
because we're going to count it.
Because we're going to count it.
But it's like in the movie with the car. What was their name? My cousin Vinny. Hey, my cousin Vinny. Hey. But when she goes 3 degrees before top dead center, that would be
three degrees retarded from top dead center. Retarded.
But they couldn't say the R word because they probably freaked out. Even though it had to do with a car.
Yeah.
And anything.
Perfectly
valid explanation. It's a word that can be used in a variety of situations.
But I like the way she said 3 degrees before top dead center. But I would have loved to have heard her say 3 degrees retarded.
Yes. Retarded 3 degrees before top dead center.
Oh, that would have
been. Retarded the timing 3 degrees. Yes. Well, in fact, I wondered. I asked a school teacher this question once. I said, "Now, you're teaching a special ed class. You have special ed students in your class. One of them comes in late. Can you call him tardy?"
Mm-hmm. That's a good question.
Just a thought. You know, I'm not. And of course, that means
why
he's
are you
late.
Tard? Deep.
Why are you tardy? That's one. Remember, what was that other movie with the girls? Oh God, what was it called? With the girls in high school and their
Mean Girls?
No, the other one with the blonde chick. I can't remember her name.
There's a lot of blonde chicks out there, Roger.
And there was the teachers going through the names, going, "Oh, so three tardies this month. Oh, one of them, I was riding the crimson wave. He goes, oh, that one's excused.
Yeah,
he goes, you, excuse. The most tardies this whole semester. Oh, well, I'd like to thank McDonald's for making those great little breakfast sandwiches, for contributing to my tardiness this entire semester.
Don't remember the name of that movie.
Clueless,
yes.
Brilliantly done movie. Oh, my God.
Yeah,
it was. The fact that I remember being called tardy a bunch of times when I was in school.
Yep.
You know, coming in that, you know, 3 seconds late, busting through the door with four or five other people going, you're all tardy. It's like, yes, we are. But, you know, hey, we sucked it up and we owned our tardiness.
We owned our tardiness. Hey, there's a headline out just now, Roger.
Oh, new headline.
And I talked about this a little bit. I touched briefly on it in my show about these ridiculous polls.
Have
some people freaking out. This headline just came out. Harris growing lead in polls exaggerated by oversampling of Democrats. No.
Yeah.
I try to tell people they're going to do
everything. Well, now let me ask you this. I always wonder about the effectiveness of overestimating or underestimating polls. Now, if she comes out ahead in all the polls, how many Democrats will just go, you know what, she's already going to win, I don't need to vote?
Oh, let's hope so. Let's hope they keep
doing. Or do they go, oh, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and vote for her, so that way I'll get my vote with everybody else.
They're trying to get them fired up, for sure. But
I don't know.
I think it's ridiculous. But you know, the other thing that they don't want to talk about is Donald Trump always has always overperformed his polls.
The poll numbers, yeah.
Yeah. And right now...
Except maybe in 2020.
And right now they're cheating. Even then he overexceeded. He got more votes than he did in 2016.
Right, but...
Now, if you believe Biden got...
More than Obama.
I mean, it's just... I mean
Big Daddy Barack, I mean...
It's kind of crazy. I mean, like I said, I'm not one of those election...
You know, this Kamala, but, I mean, she's got... Obama's her Big Daddy Barack. That is
right.
What does she call Joe? Little white daddy?
Daddy white boy? I don't know.
Daddy white boy. Hey, daddy. Let's go do this interview together. Honey.
Here's another thing. I did not make this point on my show. I should have. But here's another thing. If Kamala Harris is... If it's so important to be black, and you must vote for her because she has... At least part of her skin's black. I mean, she's black and brown because she's a Hindu. She's Hindu and...
Well, Hindu's a religion.
Well,
he's Indian.
Well, it's the Spanish.
Dots not feathers.
It's the Spanish to me. The Mexican in Spanish, you will refer to an Indian person as a Hindu, because if you just say Indian, you could be talking about Native Indian.
Right, but see, in India, they have Muslims also who are not Hindu.
No, they do. Pakistan used to be part of India, so
yeah.
I mean, they're the same damn people. They just hate each other, which is crazy. But that's a whole other story.
Well, you know.
But
that's more historical than you want to care to get into.
We probably should, but. If Kamala Harris is running around and you must vote for me because I'm black, I'm one of you, how can she say that when she went and married a white dude? So black wasn't good enough for her? So
but
she married a white dude. So I'm just...
Well, let's go back to Joe's statement.
I'm just an observer.
If you don't vote for me, you ain't black.
You ain't black.
What does that have to do with
anything?
So
are you black if you married a white dude?
Jeez, I don't know. That's...
Oh, you know, bad
just
host,
the fact,
bad
you know,
host.
They need to... Get people online. They always go on, and they'll call people names, and they call Trump Orange Man, and call Kamala the stripper, or whatever. You know, they need to get into
Kamala.
Yeah, but I would love to see discussions based on policy, performance, and historical data from both of them.
Yeah.
Get in there and,
you know,
don't call Donald Trump names. See what he's done.
Yeah, yeah.
Go in her. Don't call her names. See what she's done or what she's capable of.
At least
see what her background is.
Trump will talk policy and he tells you what he's going to actually do. But I'll agree with you, Roger. I would love for Trump to back off telling people that she's dumb and stupid. We all know she's dumb and stupid.
Yeah, I mean, that's not the kind of thing.
Trump doesn't need to be saying
tell us what she's done that's bad. Or tell us what she hasn't done that she had the capacity to do and didn't do it anyway.
And right now, the Trump team should be hammering the incompetence of Harris and the Afghan withdrawal, because her hands are on that. The 13 soldiers that died because of Kamala and
Biden. Marines, yeah, that's right. That anniversary just went a couple weeks ago.
And the American hostage that was just shot in the back of the head by Hamas because Harris and Biden didn't lift a finger to get him out. This guy
right.
got a hostage for 300 plus
days. Six hostages, didn't they?
Most
of them were Israeli.
Six were died, but one of them was an American citizen.
Yeah.
And look, I want all the hostages freed, but it especially pisses me off when an American citizen is brutally murdered and our
because of
government
politics.
Doesn't lift a finger to
yeah,
do
now
anything.
I wonder if they had done that had Trump been in office.
No.
Yeah,
no.
There you go. No.
Russia wouldn't have moved, and Hamas would never have attacked.
Oh, he's best friends with Putin. No. But he talked to him and said, hey, what do we need to do to fix this?
Yeah, just because Trump was able to talk to Putin, and Putin had no idea what Trump would do, that kept Putin at bay.
The unknown is what kept Putin away, going, you know what? He may be crazy enough to come over here and start
something. Come over here and start, yeah. And I mean, Biden... not Biden.
Well, we saw what happened
Putin
to the...
Putin tells that story, yeah.
We saw what happened to the Iranian guy who wouldn't back down from sending people into Iraq when they were working there.
Yeah.
He kept sending soldiers into Iraq to kill American soldiers, and he said, you stop this now. Yeah. Oh, yeah. He said, F you. And Trump went, no, F you.
And Trump said, F you, you're dead.
Go, you're killing American soldiers?
See,
I'm going to blow up your entire airport.
Not only would Hamas not have attacked Israel with Trump president, Iran couldn't have afforded to pay Hamas.
Right,
the
if they didn't
Hamas
get their money freed up
because
Joe Biden did it.
Joe Biden gave him the money. And Harris, we can't leave Harris out of
no,
this.
No, Harris.
She was in the last person in the room on all decisions, she said.
The Biden-Harris campaign gave Iran the money to be able to support the terrorism.
They made Iran rich again. They made you poor, but they made Iran rich.
Didn't the Democrats support some other terrorist group back in the late 1800s, early 1900s? They wore the white hoods and everything. Didn't they support? Yeah. They support and funded that terrorist group also, didn't they?
Yeah. That was the maybe that was one of the first militant wings of the Democrat Party,
and they supported them fully. That's crazy that actually happened.
You had it.
And people don't remember that.
It was Woodrow Wilson, a Democrat president, who single-handedly brought the KKK back to the freaking White House.
Oh, I mean,
this is the guy that played
the Birth of a Nation movie, and they always blame Republicans for the KKK. It's like, no, look at the history. Yeah. It's there.
The history is there.
It's obviously there.
Now, you won't find it on Google, but you can do a DuckDuckGo search and find it.
Maybe find it there. Yeah, find the truth somewhere.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you start rewriting history, it goes to the people who are willing to do
it. When you have to rewrite history, that's
because you don't want to own up to what you did.
That's a signal that you don't want to vote for those people.
Yeah, that's crazy. But we'll see what happens. So this is going to be an interesting campaign, though. Because Kamala, now when she was running for herself as presidential candidate, I don't think she ever broke 2%.
Also got no votes.
Yeah,
she dropped out before 2%. The first primary. She dropped out before the first primary and had less than 2% support.
And yet now she's the forerunner.
And now she's the nominee. She ain't forerunning nothing.
Oh, yeah.
She's the nominee.
They voted for her.
They didn't vote for her. Nobody voted for her.
No,
they anointed her.
How did the delegates do on that? Could they vote for whoever they wanted since Joe was out?
They could have.
But they weren't allowed to.
They weren't allowed to, yeah.
They towed the line. They got in their goose-stepping
because the Democrat,
way, and they marched into the...
Yeah, the Democrats' power is the powers that be. They forced the situation and anointed Kamala because she's the only one that could get the big money.
Right, that's right. If not, they would have sacrificed all of Joe's money, right?
Yeah.
Could they have re-signed it to Super PACs or something like that?
Some of the money could have gone to Super PACs, but it couldn't have gone to Kamala herself.
Oh, and now she's got all these entities running everywhere.
A new candidate would have been way behind in the money game. So it was always going to be Kamala, which is why I said it's always going to be.
It's always a shame, yeah. Because now I thought they were going to try and take her out. I really did think they were going to try.
Don't get me wrong, I did too. I did too. Until I saw they waited so long because they really wanted to stay with Joe. Here's the crazy thing, Roger. They wanted to keep Joe and dump Kamala. That's how crazy this is.
Now, did you hear today? I think Walz, the vice president candidate, his brother came out against him. Saying he would be terrible for the country and nobody should vote for him.
I saw something about that. Yeah.
I was like, oh my God. I mean, now granted, family has arguments all the time, but he didn't say he was a bad guy. He said he'd be terrible for the country.
Terrible for the country. You know what?
No, we shouldn't vote for him.
You know, listen, if I had a family member that was way, way, way far left, I'd probably go against them too.
Yeah, I mean,
I wouldn't be mean to them.
Right, you could still have to see him at Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
but.
No, still family's family. I'm never going to push family out.
That's right.
But it doesn't mean I'm going to vote for you.
That's right. But family can cause a lot of friction a lot of times. You know, I mean, but you're stuck with them, so that's all there is to it. You know, you're stuck with them no matter how they.
Because
I mean, I've done that already. I've got family members who are just we just try and avoid politics because we know nobody's going to change their mind on that.
I would have loved to have heard the phone call after that, Waltz.
Yeah.
And his brother going, you're a dumbass, dude.
I'm not voting for you.
I mean,
our country needs to get out of this mess you put us in.
Yeah, you put us in this, and now you're stolen valor? Nah, dude. You're that,
now, granted, he is the only... Oh, no, J.D. Vance served as a Marine, too, didn't he?
J.D. Vance actually was in battle combat. J.D. Vance was deployed on combat detail.
But Walls did four tours of duty, though, didn't he?
Walls did squat.
He re-signed four times, I thought. He served like 15 years.
He served, but he was never in combat.
But he still served the military.
Right. Nobody has a problem with that. But he's telling people he served in combat.
Not the case.
He is completely guilty of stolen valor. He's still telling people he was in combat. He was never in combat.
Now, this is probably the first time...
He promoted himself on his website. He was not a... cannot remember what his rank...
Rank was. Oh.
But he was not
the rank. He gave himself a higher rank.
Don't these people realize
that the truth is going to come out, or do they just throw it out there, hope people see it, and never go back and verify anything?
Democrats don't care because their voters don't care.
Right, I guess that's what it comes down to. If you don't have people who care, why should you care about what you do?
No, nobody has a problem with it. I would never...
Was Pence ever military? Did he serve in the military, Pence?
I don't know.
I don't think he did, because that...
Probably not.
You figure, this has been a long time coming where anybody running for the top offices have had any military service.
That may be the case.
I think Bush was the last time we had anybody.
Yeah, I think
and
so.
He was just in the reserves, I think.
Yeah,
I still think. Served.
Yeah, yeah.
Anybody
who puts on the uniform, man, you're good in my book, but when you start lying about it, that's a different story.
Especially since he had 16 years of service. He didn't have to lie.
And he's trying to ban guns based on his combat tour.
Which he had nothing.
He never did.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, when he was told, and he was the leader of his platoon, he was the commander of his platoon, when he was told, you guys are being deployed, he resigned.
He bailed
on his... Listen, his team members are already out there...
Telling you the truth, yeah.
Saying, this guy bailed on us. He didn't serve. He didn't go with us.
As soon as there was any sign of actual combat duty, he jumped out.
As soon as they were being deployed, his whole team went without him. And they've even talked to somebody, I think on Fox News maybe, or Newsmax, has already interviewed the commander that had to step in and go in his place.
Because he bailed out at the last minute.
Because he didn't want to go into combat area.
Wow.
So look, he'll always deserve credit for joining the military,
right,
but he does
serving.
Not deserve credit for lying about.
But then there's
service.
Clinton, who ran to Canada.
Yeah.
Now, Trump got out through some medical reason.
A lot of guys don't want to serve.
I'm pretty sure
Joe Biden did the same thing. Had some medical.
Did he serve at any time?
No, I don't think so.
He's old enough to where he should have maybe done something.
Oh, man, I'm going to have to go take...
That's crazy.
I don't think he did, though. I think he had some excuse also. And hey, I wanted to serve, but I had a heart murmur, so...
Yeah, most politicians want to get out of doing that duty, and the politicians want their kids to get out of that duty.
They want to be able to say they were in the military, but they don't want... And listen, if you joined and went through it, that's great, but don't lie.
Well, it's like Bush.
Bush
served as a reserve pilot,
which
is fine. He at least served, though.
And he didn't embellish... if you join the military, that's enough. I mean, whether you go to combat or not, there's only 1% of you out there who are brave enough to go join the military.
Right. It's a very small percentage of stands who are in the military at all.
There's no reason to embellish. But what Tim Walz is doing is because he wants power so bad.
Has he backed down from that position
yet? No.
Oh, he's still out there?
Not at all.
Claiming it?
Still claimed it.
Even though everyone says it's a lie.
As far as I know, still hasn't fixed his website.
Wow.
And Dana Bash actually asked him. She touched on it. She wouldn't push him on it, but she touched on it. And all he did was obfuscate. All he did was change the issue. Wouldn't answer directly.
Politician.
He didn't say, I made a mistake. All he tried to say, he misspoke. You don't misspeak.
Well, he could have said, I served during the time.
He didn't misspeak.
I know.
Trust me. He didn't misspeak.
But he could have got his way out.
He said this, Roger. They asked him about AR-15s, and so he was talking about banning guns and this stupid buyback bullcrap program. And he said, we need to get rid of those very guns that I carried in combat. That ain't misspeak.
Complete lie.
Yeah.
Real
quick. All right, I'm getting out of here, Roger.
All right.
Talk about guns.
I was going to say one more thing real quick. Now, did Walls serve during a time when our military was in active combat zones? Not him, but the military itself.
I don't know about that. I just know that he, when he was deployed, he
He bailed. We retired.
Yeah.
He said, I've done enough. I'll see you later. Bye.
So I don't know that. I just know that he was never in combat zone.
I mean, that would be a way to spin that, though. I served in the military while the military was conducting combat operations.
If he said it that way, that would have been fine, but he didn't say it that way. And then he went on to say, we got to ban the guns that I carried in combat.
Yeah.
First of all, liar. We can't buy guns that they use in combat.
Right.
Second, you weren't in combat.
Right. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We were right back after this. I am Roger B. with my guest On Point with Victor, and this is America's Web Radio.
Hey, folks, this is Victor with the On Point with Victor show. Make sure you listen every Tuesday, 1 to 2, only right here on America's Web Radio, the On Point with Victor show. Remember, folks, I'm not angry. I'm just right. And you can find out why every Tuesday from 1 to 2, the On Point with Victor show, only right here on America's Web Radio.
What do doctors talk about in doctors' lounges around the country? Find out on the Doctors' Lounge show, every Thursday at 8 a.m., on America's Web Radio.
Veteran-owned, America's Web Radio would like to thank all of our incredible patrons. We wouldn't be able to do this without you. If you are not already a patron, you can help us continue to produce some of the most informative and entertaining shows on the internet by becoming a patron. Patrons of America's Web Radio are the first to receive information about new shows and links to the latest podcast episodes. Join now and receive a free gift while supplies last. For more information and to join our family, please visit www.patreon.com/AmericasWebRadio. If you have questions, contact us at gm@AmericasWebRadio.com. And as always, thank you for listening.
Hey, folks, this is Victor with the On Point with Victor show. Make sure you listen every Tuesday, 1 to 2, only right here on America's Web Radio, the On Point with Victor show. Remember, folks, I'm not angry. I'm just right. And you can find out why every Tuesday from 1 to 2, the On Point with Victor show, only right here on America's Web Radio.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Right before we left for the break, we were talking about the guns that Tim Walz carried in combat. So apparently he thinks he was carrying an AR-15. Now, does that mean he just doesn't know? Or was he deliberately lying? I would like to know. And he wants to take those guns out of your hands. Now, I think from what I've been able to determine on research the last couple of days is that the last year we have full and complete research on gun deaths from the Centers for the Disease Control and the FBI is 2021. Now, that was a weird time for the United States because we were just coming out of COVID lockdowns. Crime was at an all-time high because people had all this time. They weren't working. They took over cities in Portland and somewhere in the Midwest, in Minnesota, I think it was. They took over streets, protested every night. It was a violent time in the United States, and a lot of gun violence was committed during this time period, during 2020 and 2021. So, you know, it's going to be, the numbers are going to be skewed a little bit because of this particular thing. But even so, I want to get into this real quick because this is something, the AR-15 is the most, I guess, how would I put this? It's the most demonized weapon right now in front of the media, in front of people, for politicians. Everybody demonized the AR-15 as being the bane of our existence, the downfall of our civilization. It is the reason why people die in the streets every day is because everybody in the United States has an AR-15 and they shoot somebody on a daily basis. Obviously, I'm being sarcastic. That's not the case. It almost never happens, as a matter of fact. In fact, they looked at statistics. And if you look at statistics about rifles versus pistols during gun deaths, I mean, the statistics are pretty amazing. First, you look at all the gun deaths in the United States in 2021. I think it's like 48,000 or something like that. I'd have to find that number. Okay, yeah, 48,000. But 54%, over half of all gun deaths in the United States that year were suicides. So that cuts the number from 48 down to less than 24. It comes down to, 26,000, which left 20,958. So 21,000 left after you take suicides out of the equation. Now, you know, some say, well, if they didn't have access to a gun, they wouldn't kill themselves. I go, They have access to pills, tools, car accidents. I mean, I would rather somebody shoot themselves in the head in their living room than go out and drive their car down a freeway the wrong way and kill somebody else at the same time. I would much rather someone, if they're going to take their own life, do it by themselves, only hurt themselves, don't harm anybody else, because a lot of people would find another way. And vehicles are often a way that people will use to do that. And when you're involving vehicles, you're often involving a lot of other people. So I'd rather have somebody do it on their own time, not hurt anybody else. Now, granted, I'd rather it not happen at all. That would be the ideal situation. I'm not going to say I prefer people kill themselves. I prefer they don't. They get help. They get the mental help they need, and they work through their problems and fix it. But if they can't, I don't want them doing something that's going to take other people out with them. Okay, so you got this percent. We got, okay, 100%. 54% of those are suicides. So over half of them are suicides. And then there's, and then there was 43% were murders. Now you're saying 43, 54, that doesn't quite add up. The remaining amounts were done in undetermined circumstances and involve law enforcement. Now, the law enforcement deaths fall into a whole different category, according to the CDC. If they have to shoot somebody, it's a whole different thing because it's not a murder. It's enforcement of the law. It's personal protection. It's, you know, it's self-defense. Now, I wonder if they broke down the murder rate, at the 43% that was actually murders, gun-related murders, how many of those would come out as self-defense situations where someone broke into a house and they got caught. You know, would that be something that would be considered a murder? I mean, you did kill somebody, but they were violating your rights. They were threatening your family. They were threatening your property. They were threatening you. And you were the only thing that stood between them and you being safe and your family being safe. But anyway, that says 48,830 total gun deaths in 2021. 54% of those were suicides, and another 3% of those were undetermined or law enforcement. So you look at those numbers, all of a sudden the number's half of what it comes out to be, because people are saying 50,000 people a year die by gun deaths. Yeah, half of those are, more than half of those are suicides. So keep that number in mind when you're looking at stuff or you see numbers like this. Keep in mind that a lot of those are not as a result of people-on-people crime. So that's something. Now, granted, those same people could use, you know, death by law enforcement too. Commit suicide by, you know, going nose to nose with a cop and pulling a gun on them. They will shoot you every single time. At least you would hope so, so they don't have to, so they get to go home to their families, because they do a tough job. So that's something you have to consider. But anyway, okay, so we get into it now. Of course, there's going to be people want to know, oh, assault rifles, assault rifles. We'll get to that in just a minute. I'm going to tell you the numbers on that, and you're probably going to be shocked. Shocked beyond belief how many people were killed with an assault rifle. But granted, now I'll tell you this though, they do not take assault rifles out of the equation of all the other weapons used. But they did see a highest total number of gun deaths in the United States in 2021. Now I have a feeling a lot of this was based on the pandemic we just went through and too many people being involved in the street protests and protesting in neighborhoods and having to fight to defend their property and stuff because these protesters were trampling their rights, trampling on their property, and threatening people. That caused so much more crime. Yeah, the summer of love ended up being the summer of violence. So much more crime was committed. More people died because emergency workers couldn't get to these people because the protesters were blocking the emergency workers from getting to them. And so many more people died because of that. So many more people who needed help couldn't get out to get the help they needed. All these cities that allowed the blockades of roads and blocking off of neighborhoods, they allowed thousands more people to die in violent ways than if they had just maintained order and control of the cities and not allow these criminal elements to take over major cities. And I didn't even know what the reasoning behind that was. Was it because they just didn't want to deal with it? They were afraid the law enforcement would get a bad reputation for enforcing the law? I mean, these people were throwing Molotov cocktails at law enforcement officers. They were overturning police cars. They were causing damage into the millions of dollars, probably billions. They attack buildings, they attack law enforcement officers, and the law enforcement officers in most cases in these big liberal cities were told to stand down. They were told not to take on the protesters and to let them protest. Let them riot. They were told to let them riot, let them burn things, let them overturn things, let them have their way violently with people. There's so much violent crime that took place during those so-called peaceful protests, which are actually just riots. So they were rioting, they were, you know, harming people. There was nothing they could have done that could have changed my mind to say those are peaceful protesters. Now, some cities did have peaceful protests. I saw some of them. I know in Atlanta, where I'm closest to, that city, they did not allow the people to walk onto the freeways and block traffic. They stayed on the sidewalks. If they did not, if they did anything violent towards any cars going by, they were immediately arrested. They did not put out. You can protest as long as you do it peacefully and you do it within the bounds of the law. You step out into the street during a protest and try and block a car, you were getting arrested. You try and march your group onto a freeway, you were getting arrested. The police in Atlanta did a great job of controlling the rioters and kept it as a somewhat peaceful protest as opposed to a potentially violent riot. And there were other cities that did the same thing, too. They said no to these people who wanted to, quote-unquote, protest in a violent manner. They said, no, you want to do that? We're going to arrest you. We'll throw you in jail. This is not Seattle. This is not some liberal city on the Northeast where you're going to go through a revolving door justice system, commit violent acts, and be turned right back out on the street within a couple hours. No, we're not going to put up with that. And a lot of cities, smaller cities especially, maintained order throughout all the riots that were going on and all the quote-unquote protests that were happening. And even with that, though, there were still more gun deaths than there were since 2019. So it had been... Now, granted, a lot of this has to do with increased population, too. And I have a feeling a lot of it had to do with illegal immigration. People are coming over the border who are, I guess, violent in nature, who are violent in their own countries, who are kicked out of their own countries, are coming from other countries to cause problems in the United States. You're letting gang members, drug dealers, cartel members all come into the United States unchecked through a southern border that has minimal security. So what do you expect? You let more violent people into the country, you're going to have more violence. That goes without saying. In fact, that's also what triggered the highest gun sales in history were going on during the 2020 and 2021 years. Because people realized they couldn't depend on the police force and law enforcement to protect them. They had to provide protection themselves. And other people, even if you were protesting in the streets, if you were... Let's say you were a so-called peaceful protesters, you were dealing with violent people if you were in the middle of these protests, and you had to defend yourself as well. But more families who had never owned guns before were coming out and buying guns by the millions. Yes, millions. They were selling over 200,000 guns a month during 2020 and 2021. So it's kind of funny how all of a sudden they want to ban everything. It's like, we just had some of the largest gun sale years in recent history, in all history, back in 2021, just 3 years ago. Having some of the highest gun violence rates, some of the highest gun sales rates that fueled some of that. But in order to protect yourself, you know, you can't protect yourself against somebody with a gun if you've got a slingshot and a telephone. You know, you could try, but you're going to end up on the wrong end of that battle every single time. So we had more gun deaths, but we also had more gun sales. And proportionally, there were more gun sales than there were gun deaths. So it goes to show, just because the gun sales went up a proportionate amount, it did not drive the gun deaths up the same proportional amount. It was less. But anyway, you come down to this. I want to get into this real quick. You go into, okay, what kind of guns committed the crimes? Now, most of all gun deaths are caused by a handgun. They're portable, they're easy to use, they're fairly easy to obtain in most states, some states a little more difficult. But basically, if you can get fentanyl or illegal marijuana in your state, you can probably get a gun as well. It's not that difficult. So be aware of that. I mean, you know, it's not like they're being sold at every, you know, at every convenience store, but they are fairly easy to access if you have the right credentials. And if you don't have the right credentials, they're still pretty easy to access. Just the fact that they can't stop drugs means they probably couldn't stop guns either if they wanted to. And it's funny because most of the, a lot of the really liberal states like Massachusetts, District of Columbia, Hawaii have some of the highest gun deaths in the country, highest murder rates in 2021. So that's something that says something about the law. If you can't protect yourself, you're much more likely to become a victim. If you can't defend yourself against gun death, then you may be the victim because you're setting yourself up for failure by not being able to protect yourself. So consider that. If you've ever thought about buying a weapon, it would not be a bad time right now. The prices are as low as they've been since probably the early 2019, 2018 time when the prices had reached rock bottom because of availability and supply was high. Now, the ammo is still not where it was back then, but it is falling and coming down fast, and it's reasonably priced now. It's not as hard to find as it was just a year or so ago. Ammo is easy to obtain now. The prices are much more reasonable. Now, a lot of the prices have gone up because of the inability of manufacturers to get lead at cheaper prices as they used to. Now, all the lead has to come recycled. I think Obama passed a law saying there could be no more mining for lead in the United States. And I understand there are poisonous qualities of lead if it's not done properly. But we'll buy it from other countries, no problem, but he's not going to allow any mining in this country anymore. Which, of course, drives the price up because everything has to be imported or recycled. So, but the availability of ammunition was hurt severely by the availability of lead, which is one of the main components in most bullets. Most ammunition is made with lead and copper. Now, copper you can still mine in the U.S. any way you want to. Lead is restricted now and it's much more difficult to get it at cheap prices like you used to be able to. So, there we go. So, ammunition is still high, but it's cheaper than it was a couple years ago. The gun prices, I'm pretty sure they're at an all-time low. From what I remember shopping in 2018, 2019, even early 2020, the gun prices were back down to as low as they could possibly go. AR-15s can be had for under $400, $450 right now if that's what you want. Pistols, there's a huge variety of excellent choices out there. All kinds of handguns from major manufacturers with good reputations that can be had for very good prices right now. So if you've ever thought about it, and you have a little bit of extra money and you don't have one and you thought, you know what, I need one, I'd like to have one, I want to learn how to use one, now would be a very good time to buy one. Now, I can't tell you what's going to happen next year. Depending on how the election goes, gun sales may either drop way off or they're going to skyrocket. I have a feeling if Kamala wins the election, gun prices will skyrocket, availability will shrink down, and there's going to be a huge push for people who've never owned a weapon before to go out and buy one, quote unquote, before they're unable to. That's what they're worried about. They don't want even though they haven't exercised their right up until now, they don't want that right to be taken away from them. And if it's on the horizon that the right might be taken away, they're going to go to the extreme to try and purchase a gun before they become illegal or unable to. So many people think that way. If you tell them they can't have it, that's what they want the most. And I understand that, especially if you have a family and you have property you own and you live in an urban area, you're going to be responsible for your own safety way before police ever arrive on the scene if there's any sort of violence going on, if there's any sort of insurrection or violent protest or rioting going on. You're going to have to be your own first responder. You're going to have to be the first responder for your family. You're going to have to be able to defend them, defend your property, defend yourself on your own. You will not be able to depend on law enforcement to help defend your position. That's going to be all up to you. So keep that in mind. If you have an opportunity and you're interested, go ahead and buy the gun. Worst case scenario, you can sell it later. Every state allows resale of guns. Some have more restrictions than others. I know in California, you must go through a licensed dealer to sell one. I think in New York, New Jersey, same thing. Some states just require you to check ID to make sure they are a resident of the state. And, of course, you can set your own restrictions when you decide to sell a weapon. If you're allowed to sell private party to private party, a lot of people will ask to see a carry permit. That basically means you've been run through a more stringent background check than someone who just buys one and walks out with it from a gun store. If you have a carry permit, even if your state doesn't require it, if they offer it, I recommend getting it. It just legitimizes your potential that much more, especially if you're looking to buy a gun used or buy a gun at a gun shop and you don't want to have to wait for the background check to go through. The permit is a good way to expedite the process. Also, I believe, I don't know if this is true, I'd have to talk to guys in law enforcement, but I would think when they see a carry permit, they think, okay, this guy's taking a little bit more responsibility than the guy who's just carrying one anyway, based on the quote-unquote constitutional carry that some states acknowledge and some states don't. If there was truly constitutional carry, every state in the nation should have to abide by it. And it's funny how the gun control nuts or the gun restriction people, the anti-Second Amendment people, will come out and say, well, the gun owners need a compromise. Okay, compromise. I understand. That means each side gives a little, each side gets a little, and there's a meeting in the middle somewhere. Something has to happen. But when they say compromise, all they mean is you need to give up your rights so we can feel safe. That's not a compromise. That's a sacrifice. Big difference between a sacrifice and a compromise. You want a compromise? Fine. You pass a more restrictive gun control law, then we get constitutional carry throughout the United States. Or even a permit carry throughout the United States. You get a national carry permit. One permit good for every state regardless of their laws. Kind of like driver's licenses. If you accept ours, we'll accept yours. That's fine. But nationally, every state accepts every driver's license. That they need to do the same thing with carry permits. That would be a compromise I could work with. And if you wanted to get the national carry permit, which would be a great idea, maybe you have to undergo a background check that's a little more stringent than a regular one. Just like when you go through TSA PreCheck to fly on an airplane. You go through a more stringent background check, but you get privileges in exchange. In exchange for that sacrifice of your time and your sacrifice of their investigating you, going, letting them go into your background deeper, you get a privilege for that. Same thing should be with gun permits. If you allow the government to go into your background, research you more carefully, give you permission to carry a weapon nationally, that would be a privilege that you get, even though it's a right, even though it's a guaranteed right in the Constitution, to be able to carry in every state would in this day and age be a privilege. Even though it's wrong, unconstitutional, that's the way it stacks up right now. So in order for you to get that privilege, you would have to sacrifice letting a background check become more stringent, go into more detail. But once you're cleared, every state in the nation should have to honor that permit, that national permit. That's a compromise. Give something to get something. But unfortunately, the gun control people only want to take. They want you to sacrifice everything and get nothing in return. That is not a compromise. That's a sacrifice. They want you to give up. They want you to sacrifice. They want you to not pay attention to what rights you have. They want to take those away from you with nothing in exchange. So if you're going to compromise, then have a compromise. Don't make up something that you want without giving something back. And unfortunately, every time gun control has been increased, there's no quid pro quo on this. You don't get anything for giving up your gun rights. Now, of course, things are starting to turn a little bit the other way. The ATF under the Biden administration was completely illegal in many things they did. They'd come out and say something was legal for 12 years, and all of a sudden they reversed the policy, and all of a sudden anybody who owns something is supposed to turn it in or destroy it with no compensation. But yet for 12 years they told you it was legal. Now they changed their mind on it, and you're supposed to be fiscally responsible for just throwing away something that you paid good money for. Highly illegal, but they don't care. That's unfortunately, it's come to the point where the politicians don't care about the Constitution. With one hand, they sit there and swear on a Bible that they will maintain the Constitution, swear to defend it, uphold all the rights that it specifies, and then they'll turn around with the next breath and propose a law that violates half of the Constitution. It's absolutely ridiculous, and unfortunately, I think we're stuck in a way of doing this because too many people allow this to happen because they feel like they're trading freedom for safety. And Ben Franklin once said, anybody willing to trade temporary safety for freedom deserves neither. If you're willing to trade your freedom for safety, you don't deserve to have either one. because you haven't earned the right. You're not willing to fight to protect that right. You shouldn't have either one. But if you are willing to stand up for your freedoms, then you should be able to exercise them as you see fit based on the guidelines that the Constitution sets up, and the law is set up. So that'll be something that'll be interesting to see happen. But anyway, back to the gun data. Okay, here we go. Out of the, I believe it was almost 14,000 murders committed with guns, 3% of those were committed with rifles. And this means hunting rifles, .22 rifles, military-style rifles. That's what the media likes to call assault weapons, even though they are not. But the military-style weapons that the press and the media call assault weapons, I'll say it again, just because you put racing stripes on your Toyota Camry does not mean it's a race car. Just because you put a pistol grip or plastic accessories or metal accessories on your gun does not change the gun in any way that it functions or fires or anything like that. It does not turn it into a different gun. It does not turn it from a military-style weapon to an assault weapon. Assault weapons are highly restricted. You have to go through federal background checks and receive a tax stamp, a special permit stamp, in order to own one. And you can't own anything manufactured after 1986 in most of these cases, which is another restriction that the government put out. And that was actually signed by Reagan, put that into force. So I'm not going to defend Democrats or Republicans when it comes to gun control, because they've both been on the wrong side of gun control time and time again. Trump, for instance, pushed for the banning of the bump stocks. And now, 5 years later, though, a judge has reversed that decision, and all the people who had them or lost them in boating accidents can go find them now, and they are once again legal. And with the pistol braces, they did the same thing with that. Pistol braces, which after 12 years of being sold, between 40 and 50 million of them in citizens' hands, they suddenly decided you can't have them, you need to destroy it or hand them in with no fiscal compensation, with no financial compensation. Illegal, completely illegal, but yet people don't care. If it doesn't affect them directly, they don't care. Anyway, so we have all these gun deaths. Of that, 3% were committed by rifles. That's hunting rifles, military-style assault weapons, .22 rifles, any kind of long gun. 3%. Now you're thinking, 3%? That's a lot. That comes out to 408 out of the 48,000 gun deaths were committed with a rifle. Crimes. Well, actually, if you go into the murder rate, that's going to be a little different. It's about 14,000. By the time you take out police deaths, suicides, all that kind of stuff, violent murders accounted for almost 14,000 deaths in the U.S. in 2021. And of that, 3% or 408 were committed with a rifle of any type. Now, not all those are the military-style assault weapons. Some could be bolt-action rifles, .22 rifles, lever-action rifles. A small percentage of those were the military-style assault weapons, but 408 guns, which is 0.008% of the 48,000 people who were killed with a gun. That's almost a statistic anomaly, but yet why is it that the liberals want to go after these military-style assault weapons when they account for so little of the total gun deaths in the United States? That's a question I have. I don't have an answer for you. I don't know. I don't understand why these 408 deaths in a mass sea of 48,000 deaths is of such importance to liberals. Is it because they think they can get the votes? Because the way these guns look, they look a certain way, and everybody's going to decide, well, you know, we're going to be prejudiced against this for the way they look. You might as well be racist if you consider a black gun more dangerous than any other color gun or any other style of gun. If you consider a military style weapon more dangerous than one that's not, then you're being prejudiced. It's on the verge of racism. You're putting them into a lower class of weapon, putting into a more dangerous class, even though they don't act any different than any other semi-automatic rifle. All right, well, consider that. Tell your friends who argue with you that less than 3% of the deaths, assault weapons, 408 in the whole year, not a lot. All right, I am Roger B. This has been Locked and Loaded, and you've been listening to America's Web Radio.
The views, opinions, and content of the show hosts and their guests appearing on America's Web Radio are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the station.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.